Yeah. I'm not even going to ask for it. I think I would just take it. That's known as the Deca Yeah. That means I'm fired up. It's Friday.
Today's
of course,
Friday.
During the pandemic, every day is Friday because every day is Wednesday because every day is Monday. It's all blur day. But it is Friday. Am I right, Hood?
Today's Friday.
Yesterday was Thursday.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's Saturday. Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Nice to have you here. In fact, nice to tell you that the first hour is an open phone hour. That is perfect on a Friday. We have a lot to get done, and we're going to load this thing up in the back half. So you should come in right now. We had a great day yesterday. A smack-off day yesterday, part of smack-off season. I want to recap that whole thing. I've got another player profile. But yesterday was so good on so many different levels when it comes to the smack-off. It might be one of my favorite in-season, in-smack-off season days ever. There were so many different layers and so many different things that happened that were so good. And a few things that were so bad that made it so good. It was a great day. Now let's see if we can build on that. Telephone number is, write this down if you don't know it already, 1-800-636-8686. Open phones in hour number one. I gave away a golden ticket yesterday. It went to a Canadian, Chris, in Toronto. The rest of Canada was pissed. You tend to forget sometimes how much Canada hates Toronto. Toronto is in. One more thing I laid out yesterday as it relates to the smack-off. Canadian representation has gone horribly in the smack-off. In the history of the smack-off, Canadians have combined for one top 10 call. That's it. One top 10 call, and it was a 10th place finish. So, Chris is in, Matt is in, Tyler is not in, and we'll see if they can do better this year. 1-800-636-8686. My question is, will they have another top 10 call before 2045? You know, like when Jake is hosting the smack-off or Jake's kid is hosting the smack-off. You have your telephone number. Use it. You've got a way to follow me on Twitter, @JimRome. You've got a way to email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, @haveatake.com. You've got a way to jack up my Facebook page, my Instagram page. Coming up in hour number two, a couple of good interviews. I've got a pitcher for the Washington Nationals, Patrick Corbin, top of the second hour. I'm hyped on this. Also in hour number two, the interim lightweight champion of the UFC. Not that he wants that or cares about that, because he doesn't. The second they gave him that belt, he threw it on the ground. Justin Gaethje. Justin Gaethje was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Over the weekend, he joins us at 10:40 Pacific time. Have not run down Paul Azinger on this show for a while. Zinger's in. Top of hour number three. Alvy's week that was in the third hour. The ATP in the third hour. Smack up 26 in 35 days. Where are you? 1-800-636-8686. Kyle in Green Bay continues his tour. And ran down, among others, Steve and PHX. One of my favorite things about the clones is when they ultimately do make an appearance finally on camera, it goes so badly for so many. Ask Wells in the 720. Ask Cowan Vegas. This is what the clones do. Except it's not going badly for Steve and PHX. My man looks good. And he's making everybody else look bad. So I'll have that for you a little bit later on. All right, use the phone, pick it up, dial the toll-free number, get to Adam Hawk, get on the air. I've spent enough time on this. All right, so when it comes to the NFL, I'm going to start right here. When it comes to the Shield, they always say that one of the most important off-seasons in your entire career is the one between your first and your second year. You're no longer a rookie, you have a year under your belt, and by now you know how everything works. You know what it takes to compete at the highest level. You understand the expectations and what it takes to meet them. So, How do you spend that first offseason? Every player in that position has to ask himself that question. And it's a critical question. One of the most important of all, how do you spend your first offseason? Well, if you're New York Giants cornerback, DeAndre Baker, you commit armed robbery in Florida. Allegedly. Miramar police issued an arrest warrant for Baker on 4 counts of armed robbery with a firearm and 4 counts of aggravated assault with a firearm. And he's not the only one. Seattle Seahawks cornerback Quentin Dunbar is wanted on 4 counts of armed robbery with a firearm as well. So instead of linking up with vets to train, Baker linked up with a vet to commit armed robbery, allegedly. 2 current NFL cornerbacks being accused of armed robbery is crazy. Yet that's not even the craziest part. It gets much crazier. It gets much, much better. Starting with the fact that Baker was a first-round pick last year. He was the Giants' first-round pick in April of 2019, and he's allegedly committing armed robbery in May of 2020. Man, you want to talk about a fun fact? You want to talk about a fun fact? That's already one of my favorite stats of all time. From being a first-round pick to a guy picked up for armed robbery, allegedly, in just over 1 year. That is not easy to do. But apparently, DeAndre Baker has pulled off the impossible. Allegedly. GOAT. I mean, this is not some dude who bombed out of the league, fell on hard times, and then resurfaced a few years later on police blotter. This is a guy who was playing against the Eagles less than 5 months ago and allegedly robbing dudes less than 3 days ago. He's a first-round pick. And not just a first-round pick, but a guy that the Giants gave up 3 picks to trade up to get. So as always, incredible work by you, Dave Gettleman. And as you might expect, the details of the arrest warrant are an all-time read. It reads like this. Baker and Dunbar were at a party in Miramar Wednesday night. The party gets underway at about 8 p.m. According to the arrest warrant, quote, numerous individuals were in attendance. Let me stop right there. I do have some concerns about the physical distancing issues at a party where, quote, numerous individuals were in attendance. However, as always, that's another matter altogether. Now, the host of the party stated under oath that he was outside cooking food when he heard a commotion inside. According to the warrant, when the host looked inside, quote, he observed DeAndre Lamar Baker with a gun in his hand. Baker was pointing it at one of the attendees of the party, end quote. If they're going with the government, somebody got issued a warrant for an arrest. If your middle name is a part of the story, you did something wrong, allegedly. So this guy's out back cooking, and he looks inside, and my man's got a gun, allegedly. Well, that certainly escalated quickly. My man's probably flipping a few burgers on the grill, thinking, man, I am just killing the party game again. Only to see an NFLer inside bowing up like he's going to kill someone if he doesn't get their valuables. Allegedly. Because the host alleges that, quote, Baker was directing 2 other individuals to take money and valuables from other attendees, end quote. The host says that Dunbar was one of the individuals assisting Baker in taking the money and the valuables. Baker told the 3rd individual, who was wearing a red mask, to take $800 and an $18,000 Rolex from the host. According to the host, Baker, quote, directed the assailant in the red mask to shoot another individual, quote, who was just walking into the party, end quote. Man, there is so much to unpack there. Like, dude, can you imagine if red mask guy actually followed the kill order? Yo, take money and watch from that guy and shoot that guy. Also, what are you thinking if you're the individual walking into a party and the first thing you're greeted with is somebody telling somebody else to shoot you? You're just rolling into a party on a Wednesday night during the quarantine, looking to hang out, maybe blow off a little bit of steam. You hear about this banging party. A couple of NFLers might be there. you're 1 foot in the door, and one of those NFLers is instructing some other dude to bust a cap in you, allegedly. Fortunately for that late arriving guest, he was able to leave with his life, but not his cash and not his ticker. He told police that Red Mask robbed him of $7,000 in cash and a Hublot valued at $25,000. That's a hell of a party, man. That is one hell of a terrible party. Show up, get a Glock pointed right at you, and $32,000 worth of cash and merchandise stolen from you. Man, this party sucks. 0-star review. Will not go back, ever. But there's more. Another person who was interviewed for the arrest warrant had more deets. This person said that at the party, people were playing cards, people were gambling, and playing video games. At one point, an argument ensued at the card table, and Baker, along with another person, identified as Shy, quote, flipped over the table, pulled out guns, and put them in someone's face, end quote.
Right in my face.
Hey, look, nobody loves a good nickname more than me, and nobody hates self-glossing more than me. And, man, I don't think that Shy, I don't know if Shy dropped that handle on himself or if somebody else gave it to him, but I do know this. There's nothing shy about flipping over a table and putting a gun in somebody's face. Like, my man is no introvert. He should not be walking around telling people, yo, man, yo, I'm Shy. What's your name? Who is his wingman? Timid? Was Timid rocking a machine gun? Was their boy bashful, looking to roll a tank into the living room? So this witness was robbed of $4,000 in cash and an Audemars Piguet worth $17,500. Not to flex on anybody or to go all D-bag, but many of you know I'm a watch guy. I'm a watch guy that feels strongly about his opinion. It says right here, AP is the finest timepiece you can buy. Trust me, that dude felt really good about walking into that party, rocking that ticker, only to have it ripped off his wrist the second he got through the door by an NFLer and his crew, allegedly. He also stated that Baker and Dunbar, 2 days earlier, were at a different party and they lost roughly $70,000. Now we're getting somewhere. Why would two NFLers come to a party packing heat, looking to rob people, allegedly? Maybe because they lost $70,000 of their own dough a couple of days earlier at another party. There's still more. There always is, right? A fourth witness was interviewed and said that Baker pointed a gun at him and demanded all his money. He gave Baker $600 and a watch, a Richard Mille. But it was a knockoff. It was valued at $600. Man, how much did that sting? How much did that hurt? Getting robbed of $600 in cash is horrible. Having somebody point a gun at you has got to be pretty traumatizing. But how about having to tell the cops that your watch was fake? Everybody else at that party is rocking their Rolex, their Hublots, their APs. My man walks in there with his Richard Mille, feeling good about himself. Only to find out it was a big lie, man. You're living a lie. It was fake. Why not just say it was a Casio? It's a Timex. You know he didn't want that in the police report. You know he didn't want that getting out. You know that was so much worse for his look and his psyche than being held up at gunpoint. Having a gun to his head was traumatizing, but not nearly as bad as everybody else at that party finding out that his meal was fake. That's something that dude will never get over. Just saying. Remember, I'm a watch guy.
You see this watch?
It's fake. It's worth $5. So let me just recap this very quickly, because I know that I put a lot out there. What we have here so far is a New York Giants first-round pick from last year, a Seattle Seahawks cornerback, and the two of them are accused of going to a party and robbing the guests at this party of more than $73,000 in cash and watches. One of the best stories ever already. But how do you go next level with it? Check this. The three individuals fled the scene in three separate getaway cars. So you're probably thinking, what kind of cars were those? Unmarked white vans? Rental cars, cars that would just blend in. Not really. One was a Beamer, one was a Benz, and the third was, wait for it, a Lamborghini. A freaking getaway Lambo. Who are you, Thomas Crown? Is this real life or a Nick Cage movie.
Okay, let's run.
He shows up to a party, commits armed robbery, and then leaves in a Lambo. We're being inconspicuous. I wonder if it was like one of those lime green Lambos. I see them all the time down where I live. And that's not like some flex either. I just live in kind of a car area. If you're in a Lambo, it's lime green. Believe me.
A lime green car.
Before you come up here and say nobody shows up at a party in a Lambo preparing to rob it, you are wrong. Because according to multiple witnesses, the cars were, quote, pre-positioned outside the residence in a manner that would facilitate an expedited departure. They picked up those three cars to be their getaway cars, and they parked them so they could make a quick getaway. So good. The thing about this story is, it's already one of the most amazing things I've ever heard, but it gets even more ridiculous because we haven't even gotten to Dunbar's part yet. That needs its own take. I love everything about this story except for the fact that I was not there. Man, I want to go to a party where active NFLers can rob me and my friends at gunpoint, allegedly. If any of you know of a rager like that, that's about to go down, hit me up. Shoot me the invite. I'm in. I will even put on one of my best tickers for it. We'll break out the good stuff. Imagine being at a party and a guy's got a gun. Hey, man, give me your money. Give me your watch. Dude, weren't you a first-round draft pick like last year? Shut up, man. Give me your fake Rolex.
Give me back my...
Fake Rolex.
It's all in a police report.
And surprisingly, this happened in Florida. Allegedly. And there's so much more to that story. I could do 3 hours on that story alone. I won't, but I could. I've got the Dunbar angle. I've got an update on Smackoff season and a player profile. Yeah, why even waste time with it? The player profile today, Rick in Buffalo. You may hate him. In fact, I know a lot of you do hate him. I love the guy. He gets a player profile. He gets the jungle treatment later on. Jose Canseco back on the radar, which is always a good thing. I've got that for you. Golf is back. Good news, better news. Good news, golf is back. Better news, high fives or not. Should have been gone a long time ago. Patrick Corbin next hour. Justin Gaethje next hour. Paul Azinger in the third hour. Albie's week that was in the third hour. The ATP in the third hour. Hit those phones. Adam Hawk, pick them up. They're ringing. I like it. I want to also send you into the weekend with a recap of this week's podcast episode, Bill Wennington. Meant to do it yesterday. It's really good. Now more than ever, we need people with the right skills to support our communities, especially the frontline workers who provide resources and care for those who are most in need. To help, LinkedIn is offering free job posts for healthcare and essential service organizations that need to quickly fill critical roles with the people who help us all. If you're hiring for one or more of these organizations, job posts on LinkedIn can help you quickly find the right people for your frontline hire. LinkedIn can help you find frontline workers from its active community of over 675 million members. That is an enormous number. I am one of these 675 million. I'm on that site every single day. A lot of you clones say, hey, Rome, who are you looking to replace? It's a great site, and I'm always on the lookout. LinkedIn Jobs screens candidates for the skills and experience that you're looking for, and to put your job post in front of qualified people who meet your requirements. To post a healthcare or essential service job for free, or if you're in another industry and you have hiring needs, visit linkedin.com/Rome, linkedin.com/ROME. Terms and conditions do apply.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. All right, so it's an open first hour, and the second hour is pretty loaded up. Patrick Corbin of the Nats joins me at the top. Justin Gaethje, and I'm still blown away by his performance against Tony Ferguson. He was unbelievable. Justin Gaethje coming up at 10:40 Pacific time. Paul Azinger, top of hour number three, and it is smack off season. As I mentioned, yesterday was one of my favorite days in season that we've ever had. There were so many people that called that are going to be a factor, want to be a factor, have been a part of previous smack offs. It was a really, really good day yesterday. coming up later on, my player profile. We're going to do one of these pretty much every single day up until the event itself. The event itself is on June 19th. And as in previous years, first prize gets $5,000 and the title of King of Smack for a year. Second prize gets nothing. Third prize gets even less. I mentioned that because of the pandemic and business being tough right about now, I was not exactly sure where the money was going to come from, but I was certain that we could not have the event without somebody having $5,000 on the table in front of them. So if I've got to scratch that check myself, I will. I am prepared to do it. A few other companies have stepped up and said, now, wait a minute, Rome, you don't need to do that. To which Rome said, you're right. So we'll see how that goes. I'm not exactly sure where it's going to come from, but just know that I'm good for it. You know where to find me. I'm good for it. The winner will get $5,000, no matter what.
Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie. $5,000. 1-800-636-8686. I mentioned some of the biggest players in the game called yesterday. Here is another one. He is a three-time Smack-Off participant. He is a two-time top fiver. If you finish in the top five on any given year, you have game. If you've done it twice, it's no fluke. It's legit. It wasn't one great call. The state of Wisconsin has got two guys that are two of the best to do it. Yesterday, I profiled one, Caleb. Today, I've got one on the phones. We go right to Wisco again, twice in the top five, three times in the event overall. Benny in Wisco. Benny, what's going on? How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, Benny.
Good. Well, like many of us, I need a shave. I need a haircut. And I didn't think that I had put on any COVID weight, but when I walked into the house the other day, my wife asked me if I got a job at a microbrewery. So, yeah, these are some tough, strange times. But that's not why I called, Jim. How about Mark in Boston calling in yesterday and the entire Jim Rome staff not knowing how long he's been a caller? Mark, you've officially become the Brian Cardinal of the Smack-Off, strapping on the knee pads, elbow pads, kissing each of your seven children before running the comb over across your bald skull and grabbing the phone. Mark in Boston still calling? I thought that guy graduated 4 years ago. Good luck on the 19th there, Perry Ellis. And notice I didn't make reference to perennial Ohio State college basketball player Aaron Kraft. That's because I don't want you to cry, Mark. Just kidding, man. I love it when you cry. I also caught Reggie's call yesterday. Reggie, my man, before you call next time, please check in with Dr. Dave in Chicago and have him give you some pointers on how to deliver a phone call. I don't know, maybe he's got an inhaler you can hit before you start puking into the phone. And I have no idea what the hell Jeff in Southfield talks about when he calls in, but weird is good, right? I mean, does Jeff just look around his apartment and write a script based on what he sees? Softball. Bacon bits, medium-sized cat turd, champion brand cut-off sweatpants, and Jim, empty bags of Cheetos. Jeff, you're just as strange as you are a moron. Finally, piggybacking on Caleb's gospel to all the golden ticket holders this year, I myself was once in possession of said coveted prize. I feel like I can add to Caleb's advice. So if you're one of the class of 2020 golden ticket recipients, listen up. Don't call in. You guys are terrible. Thank you very much for taking my phone call today, Jim. Goodbye.
Thank you very much for making that phone call today, Benny. Goodbye. Benny in Wisco. This is why he's been in the top five twice. This is why he's been to the big dance three times. And this is why there's a very good chance you will hear him on June 19th. What have I been saying for several weeks now? Make sure I want to take your call. Benny makes that call. Not a big deal. Lobs a call to the jungle, reminds everybody, myself included, what kind of game he has. And now I know. Not that I didn't know, but he confirmed it. He's reaffirmed it. That's a call that I'm going to want to take on June 19th. And I want to keep hammering this point home. There will be more invites than there are chairs. More invites than there are slots. Do not assume that because you're invited, you'll get on the air. Here's something else. Do not assume that because you've been invited and you get on hold, you'll get on the air. Nothing is guaranteed. Best to not assume anything at all. In fact, you know what you should assume? You should assume you're not going to get on the air. That way, between now and then, you'll come up with a plan to ensure that you do. 1-800-636-8686. Smack-off season continues. There's Benny in Wisco. Somebody in Wisconsin could win this thing. Somebody in Canada could win this thing. Somebody in Corona likely will win this thing. Or maybe not. Maybe this is the year somebody rises up to shock the BIC. You wonder, right? Like, if it's all about pure talent, it's going to be hard to take that guy down. If it's about pure talent and commitment, it's going to be even tougher to take that guy down. I wonder if somebody can come up with something different and grind out a win and take down the BIC. And by grind out a win and do something different, I don't mean be a gimmicky little bitch. I'm not saying that about Leff. I mean, Leff, like a lot of you see Leff as a, quote, gimmicky little bitch. I see a guy who came at it a different way. A guy that kind of reinvented the game. A guy that came at it with crazy production value and energy and ideas. And it worked.
You're a gimmicky little bitch.
That's Brad. What's it going to take? I never know year to year. But I'll know it when I hear it. June 19th is the day. Anybody else want to take their shot? And if you're not about the season and you just want to talk sports, that's fine too. When we come back, I could get to part two of the NFL robbery. I might. I definitely want to get to Rick in Buffalo at some point, sooner than later. The player profile. Bill Wennington coming up huge on the Jim Rome podcast this week. This weekend is the last two episodes of The Last Dance. So you want to check out Wennington before you watch that on Sunday night. Patrick Corbin at the top, Justin Gaethje later on next hour, Paul Azinger in the third hour. And if you're waiting on a sports update, here you go.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm going to jam an ATP in here. It's Friday. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. What you want to do is go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, submit a question there, and listen later on. I will answer one of yours. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. It is smack-off season, so I'm just going to roll with this right now. Again, I'm not doing this for the next 30-some-odd days and not talking sports. You know, I've got you covered. I definitely will do that. Nationals pitcher Patrick Corbin, top of the hour. Justin Gaethje, next hour. Paul Azinger in the third hour. Lots of pure sports. NASCAR making its return. More UFC action tomorrow night. So we are definitely talking sports. However, we're also talking about the smack-off. Tis the season. Now, if you didn't know it, it is the season. You know it by now. If you didn't know it, then you missed yesterday's program. It's already started up in like today with Benny and Wisco. Yesterday, though, was great. Yesterday was a really good indicator that we're in the middle of the season. Let me just backtrack really quickly. In chronological order, yesterday, watch Lister, Johnny Scabs checked in. Chris in Toronto ripped a golden ticket yesterday. So we have more Canadian representation, except the rest of Canada was pissed because the rest of Canada hates Toronto. A number of you in Canada admitted you hate Toronto more than you hate the U.S. Those are Canadians saying that. Caleb in Green Bay got the player profile treatment. Geoff in Lincoln nuked his brain in a microwave and asked Alvin to put him out of his, quote, mystery.
Put me out of my mystery.
You're out of your mystery, Geoff.
Put me out of my mystery.
Never call again.
Mark in Boston.
Oh, Alvy, go ahead. Put me out of my mystery.
Put me out of my mystery.
Gladly. Mark in Boston. Not only called, he requested his smack-off winnings be in small bills for his local strip clubs. We ran down Canada's abhorrent 25-year history at the main event. I discussed that already again today. Jeff in SoCal made probably his best call ever, but wasn't able to finish before a hard break to get a golden ticket. He would have, but I assume because it was Jeff, he didn't need more than 90 seconds. And then on that day, he decides to make his best call ever, and he got run. Well, he ran out of time. Same thing in his case. Reggie in the OC came in, and I actually rolled out the red carpet for him because he's known on Twitter as Brad's hype man, and I wanted to see how he could do. I was actually pulling for him, except he came in here, and he huffed, and he puffed, and then he stroked out, and he died in an all-time flame job, and is still catching a lot of heat for it today. Jeff in Southfield closed the show with an epic 2-minute run at Kyle in Green Bay. That all happened in one day. That all happened yesterday. And then when we went off the air, Stucknut went and dropped the highly anticipated odds for the event last night, which you can find on his site, stucknut.com. So I mentioned this before also. Generally, Stucknut, not even generally, always, Stucknut has his own odds. And then sometimes actual betting sites have actual odds that you can cash. You never know from year to year whether or not that's going to happen, but you can always count on the nut. I'll get more into the odds next week because they're always a source of great controversy and content leading up to the Smackoff itself. However, here are the highlights. Brad is your favorite, not surprisingly, minus 150. Leff, right behind him at the second choice, 3-1. Rick in Buffalo and Shiny the Cowboy Nation, both 4-1. Caleb in Green Bay rounds out the top five, 5-1. There's your morning line. I think that sounds pretty legit. Sounds pretty chalky. Hey, Mike in Indy, how's that grab you? How does it feel to be looking up at those guys and Mac in Boston? And Cal, you better get up in here quickly, dude, because not only is the entire jungle calling you short, but freaking Stucknut has you looking up at Sarah T, Cal. No respect from the nut. Sarah is coming off at 16-1. Cal, you're 18-1. Anytime you want to pick up that phone, Cal, you know the number. As it stands, you're looking up at Sarah T. That's a quick recap of Thursday. Let's keep looking forward, though. Keep the momentum going. Let's continue with a player profile with a look today at the angriest, loudest, most pissed off man in the jungle, Rick in Buffalo. Rick's coming off an extremely impressive sophomore effort at Smackoff 25 last summer. In a truly great phone call from start to finish, Rick took second by the slimmest of margins, right behind Brad and Corona. No one remembers second place unless it's Rick from 2019 because it was that close. Now, what's wild about Rick is he's only been in two Smackoffs. That's amazing. This guy's got the game of somebody that you think has been in the main event for decades. It feels like he's been here for decades, but he's actually really new to it. He's only been in two of these things, but you would never know it. Not by the way it feels and not by how good he is at it. Let me say this about Rick. He hates everybody. He's an equal opportunity hater. It extends beyond the jungle. Not only does he hate everybody here, he even hates his own family.
If being old, fat, and stupid is all it takes to be a major league ump, I'm going to have my old man wire his resume tomorrow. Three Raptors fans in May turned into 3 million diehards in June. My skank mother-in-law even went up for the parade. This drunk bitch is going on 70 and still wants to party like it's Woodstock 69. And there's no bigger a-hole Yankee fan out there than my old man.
I didn't bring my entire family, just my wife and my girlfriend.
Ever since the first time I played catch with my old man, I've had a deep affinity for lovable fat guys.
More road rage with the kids in the back seat. It's never too early to teach them not to take crap from anyone.
That is a brand that is exclusive to Rick. Going in on his dad. Going in on his mother-in-law. Talking about cheating on the wife, teaching his kids road rage. I love it, and it's awesome. But many of you don't love Rick. Many of you hate this guy. Many of you hate this guy as much as he hates you because you think that he ripped Jeff from Richmond's act. In case you were not around in 2018, he already addressed that 2 years back.
I've sounded this way since I was five, and I've been pulling older chicks ever since. And are you really dumb enough to believe I'd model my game after that broken-down train wreck? You heard that call yesterday. Jeff sounded like he just woke up from a 10-year nap and then accidentally butt-dialed the show. His timing was off, his material dated, and just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, he shouts out to his boy, Rogan Loam. Nice touch, Jeffrey. Now let me give you the real update on Jeff in Richmond. He traded in those 26-inch pipes for a 52-inch waistline. His mannerly countryside estate went into foreclosure in 2008, and his once trophy wife now resides in my bedroom.
This guy. Hope that clears it up for everybody. I know Rick does not care if it does or it doesn't, because he hasn't looked back since then. He checks in early and often. This guy's not hard to find, and I appreciate the hell out of that. This dude does not hoard or hide. He's been in once a month or more, and it's been like that for over 3 years now. Here is some of what the last 3 years have sounded like from Rick.
John in New York. I love how this loser starts every one of his calls, saying the show's so funny, he almost drives his truck right off the road. Hey, John. Do us all a favor and finish the job. Your wife will secretly celebrate, and your kids will be a lot better off. I may sound like I'm 80, but I got the robustness and bedroom prowess of a 20-year-old. Just ask Vic and NoCal's old lady. She'll be thrilled to tell you all about it. What's wrong, Lef? Another writer's strike in Southern California. Nobody can hold a candle to Kyle Brandt. Good morning, football. Are you kidding me, dude? I tell you what I think, but like every other football fan, I've never seen the show. Now, I realize you feel pity for Canada, Jim, so I know you're going to take their smack-off calls, but could you kindly take them back-to-back at the bottom of hour two? That'll give me a chance to drop a nice mid-show deucer and restock the cooler without missing a friggin' thing. I'm flying so high today, Jim. Not even the sight of Hawk's ugly face can bring me down. Nick's no longer the Broadway Joe guaranteeing Super Bowl win. He's the drunken idiot throwing himself all over Susie Colbert. Vic's like the old family dog who you finally got to put down. You feel terrible about it, but when all he's doing is running into walls and peeing on the carpet, there's no other choice.
You loser.
You hack.
You fat ass.
You sociopath.
You scumbag.
God, you're a loser.
Fat boy.
Don't come get some, you bitches.
Incredible. That is so good. Tip of the hat to Rick. Tip of the hat to you, Alvy. I know we will hear from him again before the 19th. Just like I know he's got his eyes set on bringing a title to Buffalo and repping this shiny, up-and-coming city as hard as he possibly can in June. Much like back in the day when Vic won. There's certain guys that you do not want to win. Because if they do, you'll be hearing about it every single day for the next year. If you hate this guy, you are going to really hate this guy winning because he's going to let you know it.
You loser. You hack.
You fat ass.
You sociopath. Come back.
God, you're a loser.
Fat boy.
Don't come get some, you bitches.
This dude's good. You can hate him all you want, but you better respect his game. He will be a factor. He always is. Every time he calls, this dude's got game. This guy's so pissed. He is so angry. He hates so many people. Rick in Buffalo, 35 days left. Remember, do not confuse 35 days with 35 shows. And let me tell you something else. Have you noticed that during this pandemic, I've been here every single day? And I say that not to give myself credit, but to give you a heads up. You know I'm going to take a day off at some point, right? I take a lot of vacation. You know why that is? Because I get a lot of vacation. But I haven't taken any days off this year. So I'm going to take one next week, which means there are even fewer opportunities. Yes, lots of days off. None yet. But the reason I bring that up, not to put that in your face. What the hell do you care? I mean, we're in the midst of a pandemic. You've had hundreds of days off. But I've been coming in every single day and loving it. Pumped to do it. Grateful for the opportunity. The reason I bring it up is if I'm not working, there is no golden ticket going out that day. I've got the best fill-in host in the world, but they do not have the authority to give away golden tickets. Only I can do that. 35 more days does not mean 35 more shows. In other words, you're on the clock and you're running out of time. But 35 more days until we see if Rick can go one better than last year and get over on everybody. That second place call he made last year wins in almost any other year. Again, a horse racing phrase. He ran a winning race. Sometimes you run well enough to win and you just don't.
Win!
He ran into a monster last year, Brad. So does his best beat Brad's best this year? We're going to find out on June 19th. Because short of Brad falling on the sword, which is what he did do one year, you know you're going to get Brad's best. Another horse racing term. Brad never, files a clunker. He never has that one bad day. In horse racing, we talk about that. Every once in a while, your horse just does not show up, does not have a good day. You don't know what happened. Just a bad, bad day. Brad is ready to fire every single smack off. If you're on hold, stay there. I'm going to have an open segment next hour. Not at the top, but if you want in, don't lose your spot in line. Stay on hold. When we come back, Nationals pitcher Patrick Corbin, Justin Gaethje, the UFC interim lightweight champ, also next hour. Stay with it. Having a blast on this Friday.